verses are there, and there's a place for notes so you can just write down your own notes. You know, I was thinking maybe the Holy Spirit might be talking to you like he is talking to me. Oh, slam on the brakes. Joy and Paul Jones are with us today. Would Joy and Paul, would you two stand? These are two of my very, I said Joy and Paul, would you two? Joy probably thinks this is for her. Right here. I love these people. Oh, my goodness. Joy and Paul have been here. Paul has spoken several times here to our church family. He has been a minister of the gospel for 67 years. Man, oh, man. He comes packing when he preaches, too. It's absolutely wonderful to have him with us, and many of you know his son, who comes, Phil Jones, comes and ministers here on a regular basis, and it's wonderful to him. So that's Daddy right there. You're put Dad and Mom, and that's putting it together. And it is just great to have you two with us here today, and that's fabulous. Thanks for coming. So there's an area that causes more confusion than any other area in our lives. It's the area of finance. And I want to talk to you about it today because I can't think of anything better to talk about when it comes to celebrating where we're at with the joy offering and what has happened with the joy offering, and we're going to get to that. So I just want to set the, you know, there are more divorces over finances than there is over sex. 51% of all the divorces that happen are blamed upon financial tension. You know, I didn't realize it that all these years that I've been doing marriages, I always thought it was till death do us part, and now I'm always till debt do us part. I mean, I don't know. It's a crazy thing. I got to tell you one thing, though. I'm absolutely sure of making money is not the same as managing the money that you make. Those are two worlds apart. I had a guy tell me, you know what? When I started working, I used to dream about the day that I'd make the salary that I'm now starving on. It's true. LA Times just came out with an article, and it was called Debt-Free Dreams. I want to just read for you this excerpt. Americans are richer than anyone else in the world, but they're still not rich enough to pay for all the stuff we want to buy. So we go deeper and deeper into debt. Credit card balances have increased by 40% over the last 10 years. Personal income has grown by 2.1%. Anybody see a problem there? Which means that we're getting further and further behind every year. A closer look at the federal data points to a disturbing trend. Debt is eating up a greater and greater portion of our income. One out of eight families now use more than 40% of their income to pay debts. More than 40% of their income just to keep their head above water. Now, I know some of you, because I preach a finance message or series every single year. And some of you, this is going to be a review. It's going to be a refresher for you. And I don't make any apology for that because I desperately want you to walk in the blessings of God. I want you to walk in the blessings of the Lord. The blessings that Jerry and I are living out in front of you are absolutely real. It's not a secret. The source is from the Word of God. I just got to say, just because you've heard it doesn't mean you're doing it. Just because you know it doesn't mean you're applying it. Jesus teaches us these ways to handle money, and that the way we handle money, for the most part, determines how much God can bless us. It's true. The Bible says that the way that you handle your money is evidence of your spiritual maturity. Did you know you could link those two together? If you're not managing your money well, if you're not responsible with your finances, the Bible says that God's not going to make you responsible for true spiritual riches. He puts those two together. He connects them together. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 16, verse 11. If you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, there's the worldly wealth size, who will trust you with true riches? True riches. The way you handle your finances determines how much God can bless your life. Wow. Do you understand the way you handle your finances is a test of your character? It reflects what's really going on inside of your life. Let me just say this, okay? Just because you're tithing, if you aren't saving, if you're not living off a budget, God still can't bless you because you need to be fully responsible for your finances. Fully responsible. I talked to some people that say, I'm tithing. They're tithing, but they're spending like a drunken sailor. That's probably a wrong term. They're spending like crazy. Whoa, 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 whoa. Where's your budget? Where's your savings? Huh? Financial freedom. Who'd love to be financially free? Come on. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not determined by how much you make. It's determined by how you spend what God gives you right now. It's dependent upon what you do with what he's blessed you with. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says this, plan carefully, read it out loud with me, plan carefully and you'll have plenty. It doesn't say you have to make more and more and more to have plenty. It says take what you already have and plan carefully. And if you do plan carefully with what you've already got, you will what? But if you act too quickly, can anybody say impulse buying? Yeah, a few of you can. You might want to circle that. Act too quickly. Act too quickly. You'll never have enough. So here's the question I want to ask you. What place does God have in your life? Don't answer it out loud. What place does God have in your life? Now imagine some of you are wanting to just say, he's first in my life. Do you know why God tells us to give the first 10% back to him? Because it honors him and reflects that he actually is number one in your life. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we're all very familiar with the verse. God says, bring to my storehouse a full tenth. Oh, T-E-N. T-E-N, tenth. It's not 5, it's not 3%, it's tenth. Why? I don't have any idea. He could have said 50%. He could say whatever he wants to. He's God, right? But he said 10%. Bring into my storehouse a full tenth of what you earn. Test me in this, says the Lord, and I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out all the blessings that you need. Circle that, test me. Do you know that's the only place in the entire Bible where God says, test me? Where God says, I dare you. So I want to just stand up before you this morning and I want to say, I dare you. According to God's word, I dare you. Right there, you're reading it. It's the only place in all of the Bible. How can God prove to you that he exists, that he is alive and he cares about you? How can he do that? By you stepping up to the plate and tithing. You put him first in your finances and see if he doesn't bless your life. Put me to the test. Why tithe? Have you ever asked that question? Why should I tithe? Just give me a good reason to tithe. Well, I can give you a lot of good reasons, but that's not the point of my sermon today. I just say, I tithe out of gratitude. I tithe out of obedience. But I mean, I want to go back to the gratitude side of it. Do you think God needs our money? What kind of a God would you be serving if he says, please give me something to work with here? He's God. He doesn't need your money. Everybody just goes, phew, boy, I'm glad of that. So then why does he say to tithe? Because he wants what your tithe represents. Your tithe represents your heart. People are more selfish about their money than they are about anything else. We get so nervous even when the pastor starts talking about finances, talking about giving, we get really upset. They said the most sensitive nerve in your body goes from your wallet to your heart. I think there's a lot of truth in that. But most of our life is spent around money, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Well, that's part of it. Thinking about it, spending it, saving it, earning it, using it, investing it, worrying about it, paying it. And God says, I want to be number one in your life, in every area of your life, including the area of finances, because I want to be Lord of all. So when I tithe, I'm saying, God, I recognize the fact that I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for you. Who gave you your mind? Who gave you your talents? Who gave you those abilities? Who gave you your health? Who gave you your body? The stuff that you're just taking for granted, Christian or non-Christian alike, your life is from God and it's because of God. And the blessings that come to you are all about God. Thank you, God. I realize if it's good, it came from you. I'm going to tithe just out of gratitude for everything that you've done for me or doing for me and will be continue to do for me. Anybody can say that God is number one in their life. That's why I didn't want you to say it. Because if you're not tithing, you're kidding yourself. You really are. Yeah, tithing puts your money where your mouth is. You bet it does. Tithing shows you that you really, I mean really trust God. We're big around here. We got our life journals and we have devotional. We do everything for us to be able to get in God's word, pray, touch base with God every day. We encourage you to start your day off with God. We call it giving the first part of your day to God. Oh, today's Sunday. This is the first day of the week. This is the first part. This is Sunday morning. We're giving the first part of the first day of the week to God. Oh, and we bring our tithes. So we're giving on the first part of the first day of the week, we bring the first part of our tithes to God. Now, when we give the first part of our day to God, when we give the first part of our week to God, when we give the first part of our finances to God, do you think we're saying anything? I mean, I wonder who's first in my life. Hello, it must be God. Every time we tithe, we are telling God, I believe in your promises. I believe in your word. I believe you're going to take care of me. I trust you enough to take me to heaven. Do you trust him enough to take care of your finances? I mean, those aren't even equal. How in the world do we say that we trust him to get us to heaven, but we can't trust him with our finances? So let's talk about a couple of things that generally come up. Harlan, I'm in debt. Are you telling me that I should pay God before I pay those that I owe money to? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, let me see if I can spell it out real easy. Put God first. That's exactly right. You do need his blessing, don't you? Yeah, well, that was weak, but sure. And I want to just, I'll go on record. I'm not asking you to do anything that Jerry and I have not done and don't continue to do on a regular basis. And I'll be the first one to tell you, there have absolutely been times in my life when I thought to myself, I sure could use that 10% right now. I can take you back to times where I was out of work, but the bills kept coming. And I thought, I could sure use that 10% right now. I could tell you when I was working part-time, going through getting my bachelor's degree, my master's degree, my doctorate degree, I'm working part-time and I've got a wife and family at home, and I'm thinking to myself, I sure could use that 10%. I can tell you up close and personal about times when I've been in major, we've had major crises in our families, major crises in our finances, and I'm thinking to myself, say it with me, I sure could use that 10% right now if I just had that 10%. Here's my bottom line. I don't want to rob God because he's the very one who can get me out of the jam I'm in. I'm not going to rob God and then say, oh God, could you help me out of the pickle I'm in? Because he says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. So you're going to have some faith. You're going to have to get out of the boat. It's sinking anyhow. Why not go ahead and get out of the boat? Why not go ahead and give the 10%, declare that God is first in your life, and watch him allow you to do the impossible or to do the impossible for you? It's not if you could just have that 10%. It's his. Get God on your side. Don't rob from the very one who can feed 5,000 plus men and women with a little kid's Lunchable. That's the one you want on your side. I have applied these principles that I'm sharing with you. We've been married 37 years. Church has been here 34 years. And we both did this well before we ever got married to each other. And the only thing I can tell you, three words. God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful. Because we follow biblical principles faithfully. And some of you are sitting there looking at me, and it's written right up here so I can see it right on your forehead. Harlan, I am broke. I can't afford to tithe. And I want to say it really respectfully, regardless of how it comes out of here. You can't afford not to tithe.
That's right.
You need God's blessing in your life so you can get out of debt, so you can get above water. You got two choices the way I see it. You can either do it on your own, and as Dr. Phil says, well, how's that working for you? Or you can do it God's way and see how God blesses your life. It is your choice. But it does reveal whether you trust God. I mean, really believe in God. You bet it does. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. On every Lord's Day, that would be Sunday when you go to worship, you should put aside something from what you've earned during the week and use it for the offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. Somebody that earns $500 is going to have a different amount than somebody that earns $1,000 is going to be different from somebody that earned $2,000. It's really the same 10%, but it's a different amount. Maybe $50 or $100 or $200 or whatever it is. You do the math. If you're able to do that math without using your iPhone or your calculator or whatever it is. On the first day of the week. See, because tithing is an act of worship. We take up the tithes and offerings in this church during the worship service of the church. You bring them into the storehouse, the place of the Lord, where you come to worship. As you bring the money in and as you give it to the Lord as an act of worship, it honors the Lord. Here's a principle for you. Ready? Are you listening? Whatever you want God to bless, put Him first in that area. So what do you want God to bless? Well, I could think of a million things. Let's just do like three or four of them. I want God to bless my relationships. So I'm not going to put relationships in front of God. Right? I'm going to put God in front of all my relationships. That's a word for some of you out there. Put God first above your relationships and God will bless your relationships. What about work? You can either try to do it the world's way or you can put God first where you work at and let people know. I'm planting the flag. I'm a Christian. I want people to know it. And God will bless you. What about with your time? Put God first in your time. You think God will help bless the rest of your time? I can't tell you the amount of times when I'm sitting down and I'm cracking the Bible open and I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm journaling what the Lord's sharing with me and the Lord will begin to drop into my mind things that I wasn't even thinking about that I needed to do that day. Oh, and don't forget this and don't forget this and you don't really need to do that, but you do need to do this over here. Oh, well, thank you very much. And I write it down because I put God first. What about your money? Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You know there's more monies in the Bible, there's more promises in the Bible about giving than there is about anything else by two or three or four or five fold. Do you know why God wants you to be a giver? Because that's when you most look like Him. He's a giver. This whole world, this whole universe, this whole creation, your whole body, He gave it to you. Everything here is just saying, you like this? Wait till you get to heaven if you like this. He's given it to you for your enjoyment, for your appreciation. Proverbs chapter 3, start with verse 9. Honor the Lord. There it is. There it is. Honor the Lord by giving Him the leftovers of all your income. Harlan, I don't think so. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income. What happens when you honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income? Come on, speak it out. Your barns will, yeah, some of you are not farmers. You don't even know what a barn is, but that's a promise. That's a good thing. Let me just tell you that much. And I'd go back and I'd circle first part. I would. I'd circle the first part right there. Let me give it to you in a paraphrase. Right off the top. That's what you do. Here's my personal experience. If you pay your bills first, there won't be any money left over. Yeah. How many of you have personal experience that there's that you've had at times in your life where there's more month than there is money? Yeah, absolutely. So what we do is we give him the first part. Absolutely. But remember now, we're talking about an entire package here, right? So we're talking about saving. We're talking about budgeting, being good stewards, and we're talking about tithing, all of it. Matter of fact, Aaron and Carol, would you come on up here? I love this. You know one of the reasons? They want to give their testimony. Did you hear what I just said? Aaron approached me and he said, I want to give my testimony. Right there's a mic on the front row right beside that beauty queen. There she is, handing it off to you. Would you guys say, hey, Aaron, hey, Carol. Tell them you love them.
Love you guys too. Well, it all started a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Sorry, it was just May the 4th a couple days ago. So I've been called to what are often the least lucrative callings in life, which are ministry and music. That's what the Lord said, that's you. And it gets interesting at times. And when tax time rolls around, we're looking forward to our tax return. And often in years past, this is what we would like to do with this tax return, and we'll get that in mind. And then we'll get that tax return, or right before we get the tax return, somewhere in that vicinity, we'll have some kind of catastrophic financial emergency that says, no, we're actually going to do this instead.
But it always lines up. So, oh, look, we got a return of $400. Okay, so give God his 10%. Oh, look at this car repair equals exactly what we have left. It always lined up. God got his, and then the mechanic got the rest.
But that's the, and that's in, you know, years of tithing and as we can, you know, giving to other things as well. But specifically last year in doing joy offering, we sat over there and, do you have a number? I don't know. What's your number? And we had the same number. So I was like, all right. It was shocking because
not that we had the same number.
The number is like, Lord, are you sure? If you're sure, you better tell her too. And he did. And this year, we gave that crazy for us number. And since the beginning of this calendar year, we were given a car. That Spencer's driving. We were at that moment. We were a three-driver family with one working car, and then it's summer coming, and a number of the guys will fill me with this. This is hard. The grill died. The grill died. And then our good friend who has been...
If anybody knows Aaron, you know that this is incredibly important to him. Grilling is very important. And we don't mean it just died like, oh, that little valve is stuck. We mean it rusted out. You opened it up and there's...
rust. She was dead. Oh, the story of Boy Meets Grill. But our good friend who has also been... who's been the hand of Jesus to us in the past with work, he said, you know, I may have a grill for you. And not only was it a grill, but it's a really nice grill. Mm. That grill would normally be somewhere in our car budget.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And we actually got to use our tax return
after tithing
on getting a new car this year.
Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord.
God is faithful. Not everything is how you think you want it, but apparently God knows better, and he will provide.
Good. Thank you, Aaron. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is a way that seems right to man that ends in death, but then there's God's way of doing things, which confounds our thinking. But it's the miraculous realm that ends up busting forth and breaking over. Thank you guys for sharing that. Let me just close by talking to you about a principle that Jerry and I adopted 19 years ago. 19 years ago, I stopped taking raises from the church, 1998. The Lord laid on our heart to practice the principle of contentment. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9 says this, "It's better to be satisfied with what you have than to always want something else." People are constantly wanting more and more and more and more. So much so that a lot of times we don't have time to enjoy what it is that we've already been given. Somebody asked Howard Hughes, "When is enough enough?" And he said, "Just a little bit more." And it eats us up like a cancer. I mean, come on, I've been pastoring you guys for 34 years. I've watched people get so financially overextended. We live in South Placer County. We need to have a nicer house that we can't afford, a nicer car that we can't afford, nicer stuff, so we just put it on our credit card and we get deeper into debt. And now what do? Well, it's easy enough. Spouse has got to get a job too. So now our spouse is going to work. But don't you have kids? Well, yeah, but I mean, this is just for a season. And both of us are working like crazy to make ends meet. And now there's tension and there's frustration and there's fatigue. You can be worked so hard to make money that you just get absolutely worn down. And you know what happens when you start getting worn down? Your relationship starts to get frazzled. You start cutting each other off. You start getting short with each other. We don't have time for each other even, much less than for our kids. We are so busy trying to make ends meet. Thank you. I'm always so busy out earning another buck to pay for all those things that we have bought. One of my concerns about South Placer County is the amount of absentee parents in this county. One of the reasons that we have a South Placer Teen Center is because there's so many kids running the street from when they get out of school at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock until their parents get home from work at 5 or 5:30. It's true, latchkey kids. Let me say this as clearly as I know how. Mom and Dad, your kids don't need more things. Your kids need parents. Your kids need your attention. I wonder, honestly wonder, if in all of our hustle and bustle and this crazy lifestyle that we're in, trying to make ends meet, if we aren't teaching our kids the wrong values. Placing priority and emphasis on things that shouldn't be there. I'm worried about raising kids in such an affluent area because of the message we're sending to our kids. And I constantly hear parents say, "Yeah, but Harlan, it's only temporary." Who are you kidding? I have watched too many temporary solutions become permanent lifestyles, and before you know it, your kids are up and out of the house. And I could go around and pick out many of you and just say, "You've blessed my soul." I'll pick on the Russes because I've known them for 150 years. But Jerry and Connie chose to live that lifestyle. You know, when the kids grew up, Connie went back to school. She got her teaching credentials and she went and did what was a passion on her heart. But when her kids were kids, she was home with her kids. She loved her kids. She was there with her kids. They got wonderful families. The key to all this is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And it says this. It says, Hebrews 13, 5. Be content with what you have. If you're struggling in debt right now, listen to me very carefully. Regardless of the reason, I'm going to encourage you, really, really plead with you to start living according to God's financial principles. Start today. I'm not going to make any outlandish promises to you. I recognize the fact that you didn't get into debt overnight, and you're not going to get out of debt overnight either, because God is going to teach you some self-control. He's going to teach you to be patient. He's going to teach you to learn to be content with the things that you have. If you are under financial pressure right now, if you are arguing over your bills, if you are mad because she spent too much at getting groceries, if you are spending everything and saving nothing, those are symptoms of a much deeper problem in your life, and let's just get real about it. Unmanaged finances represent an unmanaged life. So you think you're hiding all that stuff, but the people around you realize that. You should realize that. Out of control finances is symptomatic of an out of control life. It is. There's a deeper problem that's going on there. That one of the reasons we don't want to talk about finances is because it opens up some windows into your life that, oh man, if I start down this road, it's going to start, they're going to see a lot more than I want them to see. You don't just need money management. You don't just need Ron Blue. You don't just need Crown Ministries. You don't just need Financial Peace University. You don't just need Dave Ramsey. You don't just need a money management system. You need a life manager. And I'll give you the name of a life manager that I think you should write it down. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be faithful to you. The Holy Spirit will nudge you to give when you don't think you should, but you should. And the Holy Spirit will nudge you when you shouldn't, but your flesh really wants to. It's the Holy Spirit. These principles that I'm sharing with you, friends, they work. They absolutely work, but you have to apply them. You've actually got to live them out. I love what the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2. Why do you spend money on that which does not satisfy? Newsflash, the greatest things in life are not things. First of all, things, by definition, are dumb, inanimate objects. So if you think the greatest thing in life are things, what does that make you? Because you're living your life for dumb, inanimate objects. You know why things don't satisfy you? Because you are a human being created in the image of God, and day by day He's changing you. Things don't ever change. And because things are dumb, inanimate objects that never change, but you're constantly changing, you just get a thing, but you're changing. In a year or two, you're tired of that thing because it hasn't kept up with you changing. You've been changing, but it hasn't changed because it can't change. And now you need something new. You need a new car. I've never bought a new car in my life. You know why? Because so many people get rid of their dumb, inanimate objects at fire sales because they got to go get deeper in debt to get a new dumb, inanimate object, and I'll buy it for pennies on the dollar. Seriously, I do a whole conference on how to be a millionaire just by the way you buy cars. Goodness knows I got enough of them. But I'm telling you what, we have fallen for this trying to get more things, but they never satisfy. They never bring us happiness because we're constantly changing. And they're not. So we have to keep upgrading them to keep up with where we're at. But then we keep changing some more. And it's just like the dog chasing the tail our whole life and we can't figure it out. Well, you can now. Let me just put it to you this way, okay? Job chapter 31. If I put my trust in money, what are you putting your trust in? If my happiness depends on wealth, What are your values? Really? What do you value? Who do you trust? If you put your trust in money, if your happiness depends on your wealth, say it with me, it would mean whatever I look to for my happiness, that's my God. You may not want to hear it, but it's true. Some of you never vocalize, that's my God. But I look at how you spend your time and I look at what you spend your money on and I say, that's your God. No, it's not. God's my God. He's number one. Well, how are you doing in this area? I really am committed to helping you. This is an area that God has blessed us in, Jerry and I in. This is an area that I travel around the nation and bless other churches in, but I don't care about blessing other churches if I don't bless you. This is home. And you need to get this down. I want you to be financially free. I don't want you to be a slave to the lender. That's why I come back to these principles every single year. That's why we have our joy offering, because God said to the children of Israel, tithing is not enough. One time a year, I want you to give an offering for the maintenance of the tabernacle, above and beyond. Just because of who I am and because of your love for me, just give a little extra. If you don't believe that God blesses you, then you don't want him to be your God. And if you do believe that God blesses you, then you need to do your part so you become blessable. That's right. Yeah. So I've given you your notes, your insert. There's a section right there that says notes. You probably should just turn around and write down a couple of things that you need to work on right now so that you walk out of here. What's the Holy Spirit been talking to you about while we've been having our little chat? This entire message. Well, not just this entire message, but I mean all of God's Word. Do you realize that all of it is an absolute waste of time if you don't act on it? If you don't do something with it? The Bible can give you keys on how to be financially free, how to be relationally successful, how to do this and that and the other thing, how to walk in health. But if you don't do it, it's not hearers only, it's those that act upon it. Would you bow your head with me, please? Jesus, we sure love you. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. Just thank him for what he's doing in your life. Think about where you were at 34 years ago or 24 years ago or 15 years ago. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to give you an opportunity right now. Maybe you came into this place and you have been scrambling, you've been struggling, you've been fighting, you've been trying to get a hold of the good life. But you came in here and inside you're empty. The drugs didn't do it, the relationships didn't do it, the job didn't do it, the new clothes didn't do it, the nice house didn't do it. Deep down in your heart, there's a hole there, and the hole can only be filled by Jesus Christ. And he brought you here today to say, you know what? I want to be your all in all. I want to meet you. I want to heal you. I want to touch you. I want to breathe upon you and bring life to you. If you're here and you're up for that today, you say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Make me new again. I want you just to raise your hand right where you're at. Just right where you're at. Yeah, good for you, sir. Yeah, good for you guys right here. Yes, good for you, ma'am. Good for you. Yes, good for you. 5, 6 of you. 7. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today's a new day. Friends, we've got a yes table. It's at the back right in front of the soundboard. It's got free Bibles for you. It's got all kinds of material to help you in this decision, in this walk. You say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. I need a new life. I need a new start. You'll meet Natalie and Anthony back there. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, straight up the street, probably less than a mile. Denny's restaurant is on the right there. We'll be there for you. You look for Natalie and Anthony. You sit down, get a cup of coffee, and start talking about the things of God. Talk about what it means to accept Jesus in your heart. Talk about how to walk this thing out. Talk about the questions that you've got about God. We'll sit there and take all the time that you need just to answer your questions. Today is the biggest day of your life. You just accepted Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, into your life. You just said by raising your hand up, you were reaching up to God, and he was reaching down and taking you by the hand. And it's the beginning of a new day. The beginning of a new day. I want you just to pray with me right out loud. All of us, just join together. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Father of my family. I want to be your child. I want you to bless me and protect me and guide me. Guard me. I need your arms of love around me. I want to declare out loud so you can hear me, so my neighbors can hear me, so the devil can hear me. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. He's come into my heart. He's forgiven me of my sins. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Some of you Christians, but your actions don't back it up. Your finances are your own. And God wants every. He's knocking on your heart's door right now, Christian. Say, I want to be enough for you in every area of your life. I want you to put me first, and all these other things will be added unto you. I want you to consecrate your entire being to me. Those things that you love, they need to come under my lordship. Those things that you're worried about losing, you will if you don't give them to me. You will. Give them to me right now. Right now, in your mind, just put them in his hands. Put your kids in his hands. Put your marriage in his hands. Put your health in his hands. Put your finances in his hands. Put your job in his hands. Give it to him. Make him above all else. Above all else. Thank you, Lord. How many of you say, you know, I'm doing that with an area of my life right now? Just raise your hand. I'm doing that in an area of my life right now. Yeah, good for you. Several of you are. Good for you. Good for you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Sweetheart, come on up here. Jerry's got some announcements for us. And we have a joy offering announcement.